Good evening. Tonight we've been doing a seminar on godly families and children, and that'll be my title tonight. Our theme psalm title was Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who builds it. Obedience. Can it be seen in our lives and families? We'll be looking in Scripture on how family is designed by God, with the main theme tonight being godly families and their children, starting in Ephesians as Paul talks about Jesus. Turn with me to Ephesians 1, 3 through 5, please. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. The reason for starting here is that God decides who is in His family by their obedience to Him. Here we see Paul is talking about our eternal blessing in heaven, as long as we stay faithful. This should come as no surprise. God already knows who is going to be faithful or not, just by His eternal nature. Remembering we are the ones who have limits, and we should not bind those on Him. Because of what Jesus did through His obedience to the Father, along with our obedience to Him, to His Son, in baptism, we are adopted and part of the Holy Family. That is the family we are going to be talking about. As Christians, we are concerned about pleasing the head of the family, Jesus, who sacrificed Himself for us, so that we may have the joys and blessings that are sitting next to us, as well as a hope of eternal life with the body, our family, that is right in front of me. My hope is that we will see, as Christians, we are called to live differently from this world. Amen. Being the light and salt, as my good brother Troy would say. Trying to remain faithful and proved and approved by Him until He comes again. In order to be rooted in something, you have to be a part of it. Then you can begin to have godly families and the children that are in them. What is your foundation? As my brothers who came before me spoke about this foundation, we see that it is a relationship with Jesus. He will be there to strengthen, guide, and protect us as we are faithfully seeking and walking in Him. Turn with me to Colossians 2, 6 and 7, please. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Here is an interesting fact about the statement, staying in Him. Putting this into perspective, in the book of Colossians, there are 95 verses, and Jesus is mentioned in one form or another 75 times. That, my brothers and sisters, is very significant, as He should always be our priority in our lives. We mentioned earlier the importance of remaining in Him. What is the opposite? Being disobedient. That would be like not having any hope, being taken to the pinnacle of the highest mountain, then dropped to the deepest part of despair. In verse 7, it mentions the key idea again, in Him. So let us always try to please Him in everything we do in life, enabling us to raise godly families and children by remaining in Him. As we have been studying the theme of godly families through this week, the subject today will be raising godly children in godly families. More specifically, on how and why we should apply it to our lives. Let us first look at our key scripture, Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. I will be using Psalm 27 and also Ephesians. The reason why I chose to go through Psalm 27 is very personal in nature to me. Because of the trials I have experienced in life and the peace it gives me. As a parent and child of God as well, I, like the writer King David, have gone through many different trials. The choices that I have made have either directly or indirectly affected me, my children, and my family. Some of those choices for the better, and some not so much. As parents, we have to live with the not so much. Unfortunately, we can see the effects of those choices. We should look to our Heavenly Father, whom David relied upon in this psalm. By giving Him the praise and honor that He deserves. That if we try like David to show the same dependence and that ultimate humble humility, we too will get it right like David, experiencing that joy in our lives. So that when He mightily says, "Wait on the Lord," twice, to make sure that we get it, the emphasis that He is stating at the end of Psalm 27. By the end of it all, we will be able to see that our focus is on godly families and the children in them. Only by staying in Him will we achieve this goal. Things we know to be true about godly families. True obedience to our loving Savior causes us to look inward, to know that there is only one standard, God's. Being obedient means our actions will be in line with Scripture. We have to choose to do the right thing, choosing to be obedient, realizing that when this is done, it gives purpose and meaning to our lives. In Christ, we have the hope of existing past tomorrow, an eternal hope. Whether we are raising children or children of God ourselves, we have that hope displayed in Scripture and the peace it supplies by guiding our family to the Heavenly Father who is worthy of praise. My first point, things that we can do to raise children of God, teaching them who to serve, and more importantly, showing it in our daily walk. Starting in Psalm 27, turn there with me, please. I'm going to finish talking and then we'll go to Psalm 27. Using Scripture as an example of where we are to turn to for help, showing that decisions you make show who you are depending on. So join me in Psalm 27, verses 1 through 4. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Let's begin by asking the question, whom are you living your life for? If the answer is God, then you will see godly families centered on raising children that are the same. David shows that you cannot have obedience without sacrifice. The two go hand in hand. When we sacrifice, we are actively making an effort, being aware of the person we have become, sinners that are lost. So then the next question becomes, what are we sacrificing? It's not hard to get lost in this world. Who then are we going to turn to? Jesus is the answer. What we are sacrificing is our pride. Obedience requires us to serve and want to please Him by giving Him the awe and reverence He deserves and demands. Pride is the exact opposite because it takes away that focus from Him and puts it on me and my abilities. There should be nothing more important for a child of God than to hear Him say those words, "Welcome home, you are forgiven." Confidently saying to this dark world, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And knowing confidently that He is my strength, and with Him I fear none. Kids in this world can be at war with it, whether in make-believe battles as youngsters acting out the scenes in the latest Marvel movie, or the daily struggles in life just trying to fit in. We are called to be living sacrifices, which means an obedient life, acceptable to God only as its judge. Scripture says it is Jesus who we live for and only Him. Nothing is more important than Jesus because His love, His comfort, and His promise never changes. In Him is the only hope we need. As parents, we do not look to courts or man to show us how we are to live our lives. The answers for all of life's questions are found in Scripture. We should be renewing and transforming our lives in daily service, which is the acceptable will of God. When these things are done in earnest, with humble hearts, in tender mercy, We see the effects on our children. Trusting in Him to supply or provide all that we need. Let's take it one step further and make it personal. Turn to Ephesians 5:29, please. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Now, if you want to be real, fathers and mothers, look at those precious blessings you have been given, spouses also, and tell them that you love them. Wait for it. Now, when you see that beautiful, wonderful, and amazing smile, tell me, what could be possibly worth more than that? The answer is nothing. And that's the same kind of love our Heavenly Father has shown and sacrificed for us. Continuing in our section, we will be defined by the fruits of our labor. Turn to Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, please. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with purpose, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. These verses are addressing responsibilities that have been around since the first relationship of parents and children for thousands of years. That being said, they are still useful today as the day that Paul wrote it. Let's see the application staying in Ephesians 6, 1-4 with me, please. Pride likes to step into our lives saying that I have done this or that. I am greater than this person or that. And the list goes on. Apart from our Savior, we are weak and alone. It does not take much to reveal that in our lives. Do you still see any of that attitude today? We love to brag, whether it is about our family, car, job, house, fill in the blanks. You will notice I just didn't jump feet first into discipline and being that strict taskmaster or disciplinarian. Thinking about verse 1, let's ask these questions. First, how do we want our Heavenly Father to treat us for what we deserve? When we go to Him, are we seeking mercy or judgment? Do we want that hard taskmaster that is unforgiving and unwilling to say mercy over discipline? When children see us being obedient and humble, submitting to our Father, they know who is first in our lives. Then they will be given the living example they need. Next, honoring Him, verses 2 and 3. And if you notice, the Scripture says the first commandment with the promise, which is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Well, that is an interesting study by itself, because that takes you back to the beginning. Beginning, you say? Thousands of years since the first relationship between man and God. Look at me. Look with me at Exodus 20:12. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then turn to Deuteronomy 5:16, please. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, continuing on with this thought, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land. First of all, when we say, I have been blessed beyond measure, that's one of my sayings, I love to say that. Do we put it in terms of blessings of seeing our children's children, with them all becoming faithful Christians? Realizing also that one day too, they will have the hope, that same hope of eternal salvation. Amen. Second, when it is well with the Lord, how does your soul feel? We sing it, but do we really mean it? It is well with my soul. It is well. And let's get back to that mercy. You don't have to cry out for it. I will just show it. It's a bad joke. Lastly, verse 4 shows we have a job, parents. This talks about provoking and training your children. Again, we must do everything as doing it unto our God. So children, listen up. We are responsible to God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, to give account of how we have raised you all. The most important and everything that we have been given. So I ask you, do you want to be treated with mercy or judgment? Choose well. Point two, our homes. Are our homes godly shelters, fit for godly families? Looking at Psalm 27, 5-10, please. Psalm 27, 5-10, please. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, Lord, said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. In this section, we see ways on how to find shelter through our obedience to Jesus and the salvation that He offers us, thus producing godly families with godly children. So what do we have to fear? Verses 5 and 6. There is no greater example we can give than His. We should welcome each other with open arms, just like the loving family that we are, knowing that we have been blessed with each other. I was raised family first, so this portion speaks volumes to me. Growing up, we were not rich and did not live in the fanciest part of town either. I was taught moderation from a father whom I still love and miss. Dad believed in owing only what you could afford. The house that we grew up in, Dogpatch, was less than $10,000 when he purchased it. Throughout my life, my parents led by example, always being there with advice and encouragement, supporting me and there to pick me up from the consequences of my choices. I can say without any reserve that when we have been given that great opportunity to learn from a loving parent, it's a wonderful blessing. Experiencing that unconditional, unending, overflowing love that says you are the most important, my everything. There are no words to describe it and no way to contain the joy. We gave an illustration earlier of your child's smile. How wonderful will it be to sit at the Master's feet for eternity, to hear Him say those beautiful and wonderful words, "Welcome home, you're forgiven." My earthly father has been gone 3 years this last August. One of my favorite memories was hearing him say, "Louis, you have taught me how to be a father." And all I would say is, "Dad, you showed the way." There is not a day that doesn't go by for me that I do not think about or pray for my dad. If you are fortunate to still have them around, enjoy them while you can. So are we seeking shelter as a godly family in the mansions that are being prepared for us at our Master's house? Second point, starting in verse 7 through 10. By having a love of what is good, being active like David, responding to the Lord, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "your face, Lord, I will seek." We need to show our children whom we are seeking, whom we are leaning on, and ultimately, whose shelter we are seeking. Being kindly to one another, rejoicing in hope, being of the same mind, setting our mind on things above, as the children of the Most High in His family. These all have the same thing in common, getting us away from the focus of self. It is hard to help someone else when the only direction that we are focusing on is inward. These examples show us how we ourselves want to be treated. This happens when we are close to His bride, the church, and in fellowship with like-minded Christians. These examples should not have to be commanded, but expected. We have an obligation to lift each other up. Jesus showed the ultimate example in Scripture by His submission to His Father. He didn't hold back anything for you or me, including Himself. Point three, are we seeking godly wisdom to lead our children to have godly lives? Now the last part of our psalm, Psalm 27, 11 through 14. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This part is so encouraging, and that is why it's my favorite psalm. Teaching and training are some of the things we all have in common with our children. We all have to live our lives, whether we work a 9-to-5 or go to school. The adversities, challenges, and pressures are the same in the sense that we all feel them. So with that being said, what do you do about them? And who do you rely on? That answer should always be Jesus. He is the head of our families and our lives. He proved it with His love for us in His total sacrifice. To see why we are turn to God, look with me in James 1, 2 through 8, please. James 1, 2 through 8, please. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to them, to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded, unstable in all his ways. James is one of my favorite writers because I identify with him. I love where he finds his strength. If we are strong in the Lord, we'll lack nothing. Look in verse 4 and read it again with me. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if we're not relying on Jesus as a spiritual leader, our helper, guide, maker, and defender, that is the opposite. By letting this world beat us down with its angry waves of doubts and fears. Verse 6, read it with me. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind, questioning whether we are worthy of that loving Savior and all that He has done for us. Then we need to be careful, because we are not relying on Him to save us, but ourselves. So their reward is to not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 7. I'd like to bring up a point a brother made with me the other day as we were discussing sin and growing up in the church. I love how he put it. Just because you grew up in the church doesn't make you any less valuable. Your experiences, trials, and temptations of growing up and living in this world and being faithful are a testimony to us who didn't. Far too often, people will put a negative spin saying that they don't know what it's like not having any fun, making sin out to be glorified and something to be experienced, forgetting all the while God knows the price of sin as well. His Son was given so that we do not have to experience His pain. God doesn't want us to hurt ourselves to the point of sacrifice and eternal death. Once you are lost in sin, if you stay there, you are lost forever, because God cannot have fellowship with sin. Thanks, Mr. Larry. I added a few words, but appreciate you and love you as a brother. This brings up the last and final point, that we should see we are all going to go through difficult trials in life. Don't lose heart or focus. Your family needs you. Let us finish the mission, persevering, building godly families with godly children. Continuing on to the next section, we sing a song, "Where Does My Heart Come From?" If we believe that and want to honor Him as He expects, then let us be confident enough to say, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me." Then having the faith to know that all I have, all that I have been given, will be taken care of when I give Him all the glory and honor and praise that He deserves. Not everything we encounter in life is going to be pleasant, but we must remember we do not fight or live alone. We have the support of our family in God and our Maker Himself, whom said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If I'm going to be my brother's keeper, then we should be there for each other. So when one is getting persecuted, he is also being supported. We should be rejoicing and weeping together, like the song says, standing on the promises of God. And there is no better foundation to be on. We should have the faith, the belief, the obedience to not only follow Him, but to follow Him without a doubt, that when our loving Savior makes a promise to us, you should believe with all your heart, knowing that He's going to keep it. So again, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In closing, hopefully we have answered these questions. Are we living as godly children in godly families? So I ask you to humbly come to the only one that can take care of all your needs before you need them. Remembering the greatest hope is found only in Him and the perfect sacrifice that was made for each of us. Everything in life should obediently point to Him. Then and only then will we find all that we need. My wish would be for everyone to have that same hope found in our loving Savior. I love to use this metaphor. Our Heavenly Father's love for us. How amazing is it that we can get the perfect example from Him on how we should be fathers and parents ourselves, as He trusts us to be those fathers and parents also. May we all be faithful children of God that have the hope of eternal salvation. If there is anything that we can assist you with in your time of need, will you come forward as we sing? God bless you all. Amen.